I'm going to start this week's meeting of the EdTech Club with a question. How's your brain doing, or your mind? How's your thinking going these days? It might be a little crowded in the old noggin, right? I mean, as an educator, you're always looking for new ways to create meaningful, effective learning, and these days you're doing it in a lot of different ways, some that are novel and some that aren't, some that are here to stay and some that might ebb and flow. And when it comes to making change for the better, I've got another question for you. Do you feel like you, individually, as an educator or an administrator or someone interested in education, do you feel like you have permission, the agency, the ability to make changes, to solve problems? What I'm saying is, it can be difficult to figure out where we can make effective change and how we can do it. Now, last week we spoke with Darcy Backegaard and Michelle Blanchette about their tool, the Educator Canvas, and that is designed to help you as an educator find new ways to reach the goals and outcomes that are meaningful to you. We talked a little bit about how the tool works, how it was inspired, and what it's for, and this week we're going to think even bigger. Darcy Backegaard and Michelle Blanchette returned to the club this week to help us sort through how we do this, how they problem solve, and how they think about problem solving. Not just using their Educator Canvas tool we introduced last week, but in general, and how they do it right now. Plus, we're going to talk about how to scale solutions and how to implement tools and strategies in classrooms and even at home. This meeting of the EdTech Club is all about mindset and how we can have the right mindset to solve problems. So that's what we'll be covering with our guest speakers this week, and it all starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. And as I mentioned, our guest speakers from last week, Darcy Backegaard and Michelle Blanchette, return this week, and we're getting deeper into the problem-solving process that inspired their Educator Canvas tool and how they look at problems in education, the mindset they bring to it, and the problem-solving they want to help you find. So, the discussion continues with our guest speakers, Darcy and Michelle.
You'll have to forgive me for using a buzzword, but I mean, if we're in, you know, talking business and education, there's plenty around. But this feels like it's a more outcomes-oriented a process or tool, this Educator Canvas, than it is a process-oriented. So it's less about using the tool the specific way, and instead figuring out, well, why did I choose this tool? What do I want to get out of it? Or what do I want to get out in general? And what tool can I use?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So I kind of consider this a nice alternative, if you will, to design thinking. And hopefully Darcy agrees with that. I love design thinking. I think it's great. I think the one thing we tried to bring into our canvas is the empathy piece, the human-centered piece, because I think that's essential pretty much in everything. But yeah, we wanted a faster way for teachers to be able to try, because when we were giving workshops, you know, people will say, okay, you have an hour. Okay, you have 2 hours. So the design thinking process takes time and it's quite lengthy. So, you know, you have this massive constraint where a school or an organization brings you in and they're like, okay, we're going to give teachers time to problem solve. And here's 45 minutes. And so we were like, okay, we need something that people can kind of get through quickly that gives them enough structures so that they can go back to their classroom and try this out. So that's, kind of why we created it this way, is because we wanted just enough structure so teachers can figure out quickly if they're working, which is, you know, part of, I guess, a lean startup methodology, where it's like, if you're going to fail, fail fast. And we don't even consider it failing. We just consider it giving a teachers an opportunity to try to see if something works, because if it doesn't, they can quickly come back, you know, go back to the canvas and tweak. if it really didn't work, maybe they scrap it and try something else. But it makes that, you know, risk-taking innovation process a bit more efficient.
I completely agree. I think for any individual tool, it is about getting to the implementation phase. The thing that I like about the Canvas is that hopefully if you keep coming back to this, if you use this tool, the emphasis does become on the process, because we're helping educators. Our dream would be that educators, by using this tool over and over, develop an intuitive problem-solving process that they can apply to any challenge they're facing in the classroom, big or small, school, like consolidated to one unit, something that affects the entire school building or the district. So I agree, the emphasis is on the product in the immediate, the short term. But I also think that this tool, this simple one pager, gives you this entire process that you can tap into, this whole new mindset that you can tap into as an educator, that you have access to the solutions to solve the challenges you're seeing. And one of the best tools you have at your disposal is yourself. And the fact that you know your students better than any expert, you know what's going on in your classroom. So this process can help you by creating new product quickly, if that makes sense.
Right. And we know that design thinking, engineering design process, even the good old scientific method is built on iteration and seeing the different outcomes or the similar outcomes as you try things, and then being able to make decisions off of that. And I can see how, as you point out, you know, if you start figuring out how to get to the outcomes you really want or solving the problems that exist, you do that a few times through this canvas, this educator canvas, and by going through that process, you'll be even quicker each time, right? Because you'll kind of start to know how it goes through, and then you don't have to check if a pipe wrench is the right tool for this job, because you'll just glance at your toolbox and you'll already know that that's how the pipe wrench works.
Right. And like Michelle said, yeah, as Michelle said, it allows you to fail quickly. And so the more times you do that and the more times you find what doesn't work, you're that much more nimble at adapting and anticipating the individual challenges. Each building is so unique. The dynamics of any school setting are completely unique and yet so overlap and universal of, you know, those different types of teachers. So one of the parts of the Canvas is managing relationships. And I've always been surprised by some of the places that I have found pushback when I want to try something new. And this, I think if I had had this tool years ago, it would have helped me better strategize. Oh, like that person is going to see me innovating in my classroom as a threat, even though what I'm doing in my classroom really doesn't have anything to do with them. So they're going to start messing with this. They're going to start saying things. They're going to make comments. So how can I avoid that? How can I make that person an ally? How can I think about that? And you're right, the more times you go through this, that sort of thinking is just going to be part of any time you look at things, you'll be looking at this whole picture and be able to solve challenges much more quickly.
And we've talked a little bit about social emotional learning. You mentioned managing relationships. I guess when we think about this, like, what is your mindset in terms of the interpersonal nature of selecting a process or a tool or taking on any kind of problem-solving action in a education environment?
So we, what we tried to do with this canvas, just within these different categories Darcy was explaining earlier, we tried to provide teachers with opportunities to kind of engage those that they're working with. So for example, in the inspiration phase, we really try to get people to talk to your students, try to get student voice in there. Like, it's not enough to have a good idea. You have to, if the kids don't buy into it, like, it's probably not going to work, in all honesty. So, you know, that's part of the innovation process. And, you know, working with other people in the room, tapping into partners, like, who's there that, you know, can be an ally. And maybe it's your students, maybe it's parents, maybe it's other colleagues. How do we tap into the other resources that we have? And then, as Darcy was explaining earlier, managing relationships, managing the change and stress that come with innovation, whether it's, you know, students, parents, your colleagues, et cetera, change is hard. And a lot of people are going to be resistant because there's a learning curve that comes with it. So what we try to do is, the Canvas asks you some questions, but really what we've tried to do, and more of this is kind of in our book, is emphasize, how do you work on your EQ? Right? Because education is an industry built on relationships. And it's kind of interesting because teachers don't get a lot of opportunities to really work on their own well-being, let alone how to work with others, right? So for us, you know, the second half of making ideas work is learning how to work well with others and manage, the change and stress that's going to come with implementing new ideas.
I think it's worthwhile to reflect on what we inevitably refer to as our current period of remote and hybrid learning. Has that affected the way you think about this Educator Canvas tool/process, or has it shown strengths in that process? I mean, how do you reflect on the current moment in regards to this process of choosing the right ways to solve problems?
If I may, I think, honestly, for me, this has done nothing but validate our process, because as Darcy was mentioning early, like, I don't need the Canvas when I have a problem. Like, I just naturally think in this kind of structured way, if you will, about what I need to think about to make the idea happen. And it's interesting because we've long thought, like, because essentially what the Canvas does is it introduces teachers to having their own entrepreneurial mindset. And so instead of being overwhelmed when there's a new problem or a challenge, you're just organized. You can just take charge and do something about it. And, you know, Darcy got probably one of the highest compliments. Someone who had done her Educator Innovation Lab, they came to her and said, you know what? I'm so happy I experienced this before, because when COVID happened, I knew what to do. Like, I had that kind of in my tool belt, if you will, as a way to kind of lead me through and help me innovate in this time of change. Because, you know, when you have an entrepreneurial mindset, you're able to adapt and evolve as changes arise. And that's what the Canvas essentially is trying to help teachers to do.
We also had a school district in Centerville, Iowa. Their technology integration coach was a colleague of mine, Dr. Mecca Wallace Spurgeon, and she utilized the Canvas. She did a fairly traditional tech integration coach beginning of the year, where she modeled several different tools, showed teachers some things that she was excited about. But then, instead of leaving it there, she equipped them with the Canvas and then asked them a big guiding question. Okay, we're going to distance learning. What do you need to do? What are going to be the biggest problems that will impede student success? And how can we use some of these tech tools in order to try to mitigate and alleviate some of those challenges? Right. So as I alluded to earlier, some of those challenges are with parents and guardians. How can we support from a distance? How can we use technology to better support people who are basically now functioning as co-teachers, but are busy parents and have jobs, or grandparents, and have no idea how to do any of this? How can we help support them? So the Canvas was rolled out for the whole district to help them create their plan. And the beauty of it is, you, like I said, it works on so many different levels. You could outline, okay, so here's our whole goal for the whole first 9 weeks. This is the problem, and this is, we want to do a project-based learning 9-week unit, because we know we have to have something very hands-on and interactive. So this is what we're going to do. And you can create this big picture, And then you just, it's a one sheet piece of paper. So you just make more copies of it or throw it in a Google Doc and type on top of it. And you can then use the same canvas to break down each individual step of that larger process. So it's so flexible and dynamic. And yeah, it was amazing to receive that email from this teacher. And it totally, I agree with Michelle. This whole experience has validated everything, because teachers just, I think it's even more about just teachers feeling and we have given teachers permission to try to solve the challenges that they're facing. And as corny as that sounds, as I'm saying those words, I really think sometimes that is one of the biggest barriers to innovation in education, is that teachers don't necessarily feel empowered to tackle those changes. So much in education comes from the top down instead of from this grassroots educator perspective. And I think the Canvas works both ways. It can help implement a district directive, something that is coming from the top down. But as Michelle emphasized, how do we make sure that this is the best what is the best implementation strategy for our users as we roll out this district-wide mandate? But it can also work from the ground up of, this is something that's happening in my classroom. And I, as the teacher, can be empowered to address that challenge. And I have the capacity, the tools, and the mindset to do that.
And so it seems, I mean, this can be done collaboratively. It can be done individually. It could be done with a teacher and their colleagues, or with a teacher even and their students. What are some of the ways, I guess, you've seen this used? When we think about that big question of what problem am I trying to solve and then working through this process, what are the questions that educators are asking so far?
As Michelle mentioned, I've been running educator innovation labs. So frequently I run it as a day two to traditional sit and get professional learning. And so then what teachers come to, I've seen the questions range, the problems. I had a pair of teachers, just as you said, they were going to collaborate together. And their problem was, how are we going to ensure that student X, and they named the specific student, graduates middle school? That was their problem. That's a pretty big problem. And their solution for that was, they decided they really needed to help this student see that education had value for them as an individual. So I've seen pairs of teachers work on something that big to, as I said, I had one teacher in that exact same workshop bouncing ideas off of each other, whose problem was, I want more interactive lectures, so I'm going to integrate Pear Deck into my lectures. So it can be as specific as one specific tool. I want to make learning X fact more engaging, to something that was pretty comprehensive, that involved literally two teachers designing a 3-year plan for how they were going to support this individual student so that they graduated from middle school.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like it could scale that way.
Just to piggyback on what Darcy was saying, I mean, it's really crazy. So yeah, you'll have people with big projects like integrating, they want to create an interdisciplinary curriculum. We've had that. You know, how do we create a first class remote learning experience? That was one that the instructional coach, I had seen her use with quite a few of her teachers. You have ones on classroom management, engagement, how do I involve parents? It's for anything. I think the biggest thing, and this goes back to what Darcy said in the beginning, is people just ask a challenge question, because it doesn't necessarily need to be a problem. It could be an idea, an improvement, but it's kind of asking yourself what it is that you want to do. And so usually when we do these workshops, we really suggest that people frame whatever they're working on as a challenge question, because it opens them up to the possibilities of what they could do.
Right. It could work both ways. It could be a deficit you're trying to make up, but it could also be a growth that you want to see.
Exactly.
And so if I'm intrigued by these ideas, if I like the way you've centered these challenge questions, if I think it might be useful and I want to learn more about y'all and your work and how you think, where do I go? This is the time to plug your stuff.
Sure. So our website is theeducatorslab.com. We have most of our stuff on there right now. We're trying to do more with the Startup Teacher PLN so that we can help support one another and just kind of join forces so that when you have questions, when you need the coaching, mentoring, when you need like the, you know, moral support to get your idea off the ground, you have it.
Well, we're out of time, but our thanks again to Darcy Backegaard and Michelle Blanchett. And as always, if you want to check out the homework for this episode, check out the show notes, the description for this episode, where you'll find useful links to the things we've talked about. And if you love useful links, well, don't forget to follow TCEA on social media. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. You can keep up with the very latest, including events, new tools, new ideas, and new episodes of the podcast. And if you're a dedicated EdTech Club member, don't forget to stay subscribed in your favorite podcast app. You could even give us a rating and a review. It helps spread the word to other EdTech enthusiasts. By the way, if you're really into problem solving and you like using technology to do it, there's a bevy of solutions to your problems and ways to exchange new ideas and to figure out how to stay resilient through changes at the 6th Annual Campus Technology Specialist Academy, brought to you by us fine folks here at TCEA. That is coming up virtually online November 18th through the 21st, 2020. So if you're interested in instructional coaching, providing better PD, and coming up with good campus technology solutions, check this event out. It's not just a live event, it includes on-demand access after the event and so much more. So if that's intriguing to you and it might help solve your problems, check it out at tcea.org. Just find events in our top navigation and you will find a link to our 2020 Campus Tech Specialist Academy. But that's it for this week. The bell's about to ring. You've got your homework, you've got your extra credit, and you even got a line on an exciting virtual event coming up. So I hope that's enough to tide you over until next week, when we will gather again for another meeting of the EdTech Club. Until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.